I want to continue the trend that we were doing the last few weeks, that we picked mitzvahs that were in Ilan Hagayah, to the parsha, to the time of year that people aren't as knowledgeable about as they are about the big, well-known mitzvahs, and to delve into it, to learn something about the halachas of the mitzvah, and also to learn something about the message of the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, a bracha, that's miyuchet for Chodesh Nisan, that he's supposed to make in the month of Nisan. And today being Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's appropriate time to talk about it. And that is the halacha says in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Chav Vav in Aruch Chaim, that someone who goes out during the days of Nisan and he sees trees that are flowering, the trees before the fruits come on the tree, like they're like flowers on the trees, and then the flowers fall off and the fruits come on. So he should make a bracha. He should say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Shelo Chiser Ba'olam Ha'klum, that Hashem made nothing lacking in His world. Ubara Bay, and He created in this world Briyos Tovos, good creations, the Ilanos Tovos, and good trees, Lehanos Bahem Bnei Adam, so that people should enjoy. So we thank Hashem that He created good creations and good trees for us to enjoy. And it's based on a Gemara. The Gemara is in Brachos on Nachmem Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, a person who goes out in the days of Nisan and he sees trees that are flowering, he should say, it's a little bit different than Nusach, Baruch Shalei Chiser Be'olam Eklum U'Baruch Bei Briyos Tovos V'Ilanos Tovos L'Hisna'os Bohen B'nei Adam. Very similar Lashon. That's a Beferish Gemara. It doesn't say in the Gemara or in Shulchan Aruch what type of tree. But the Mishnah Berurah says, dafka, a tree that we can eat from. Specifically a fruit tree. You can't make a bracha on any tree that flowers. There are many trees that flower as the season starts, they flower. But you can't make a bracha just on any tree. It has to be specifically on a fruit tree. So that being the case, Rabbi Akiva Eger has a question. And I think it opens up the sugya, the halacha here for us. There's a halacha called arla. Arla means that a fruit tree, for its first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to have hanafra. So the question is this. If someone sees a tree of arla, and he wants to make a bracha, wants to make this bracha on it, can he make a bracha on a tree of arla? Do I say that it is a fruit tree? Bottom line, it is a fruit tree, and you can make a bracha on a fruit tree. Or do I say that the bracha says that I can enjoy it, so people can enjoy, and I can't enjoy a fruit tree?
He could, just not ready.
He could eventually. So that's the discussion. But right now, it's not enjoyable. And these fruits, I won't be able to enjoy.
But you're not making a bracha on the fruit. You're making a bracha on the tree.
But it's a bracha that we make every year, so that seems to indicate that it's that year's. Reb Nissen Kaplan, who's a Rebbe in the Mir in Yerushalayim, wrote a number of Sfarim, and one of the Sfarim that he wrote is on the sixth parak in Brachos, and he brings this Rebbe Akiva Eger, this question about Arla, and he adds some other interesting questions. I was fascinated from it. He says, what if you have a tree that every year it's infested with worms? So the fruits are not edible. So it is a fruit tree, but you can't have hanar from the fruits. Could you make a bracha on that tree? Or what if you have a tree that's a fruit tree, and it's edible, but it's such an old tree that it doesn't produce fruits anymore. It flowers every season, and it used to produce fruits, but it doesn't produce fruits anymore. Do I say it's a fruit tree, or do I say, but now I can't enjoy it, there's nothing to enjoy, there's no fruits on it? That's what he brings up these questions. So the place to start, and this is where we come in, the place to start is we have to know what we're making a bracha on. We can't decide when we should make a bracha. We don't know what we're making a bracha on. Exactly what are we making the bracha on? We're thanking Hashem for what? So the Aruch HaShulchan, in the first Se'if in this Siman, the Aruch HaShulchan says that we give Shevach V'Hoidah to Hashem Yisbarach, we give praise and thanks to Hashem, that He created a very, very fascinating idea. He says, Hashem didn't have to create fruit trees. We could have just eaten vegetables. Could have been an all salad diet. We didn't have to have fruits. Fruits is an added unnecessary thing that Hashem put into the world just for us to enjoy. There was no need for it. It's not hechreichi, he says. You can live without it. It's just Hashem wanted. Hashem is such a chesed to us that He wants us to enjoy it. He wants to give us a little variety and color. So besides for the vegetables, He's created trees and He put fruits on the trees. So since it's like just like an added like cherry on the top to what we need, so it motivates us to make a bracha. We could live without it. I'm alive and well and healthy without it. And still Hashem just like piled on some more goodness. He piled on some more chesed. He made fruit trees. Unnecessary. So for that we thank Hashem. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Rishayim say a different reason. The Rishayim, it's a Ritva and a Ra'ah. The Rishayim say something that makes it sound very similar to what we talked about last week about Kiddush Levana. They say, Sha'adam mevarich al etzim yuveishim shehefricham HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're thanking Hashem. I was just talking to John about this yesterday. We have these dried out branches that Hashem made them flower. And anyone with a little bit of a sensitive heart can go out into the, you know, in a few more days, and even now already you could see on the trees, you could see a little slight budding on the trees. The signs got these little bumps on it that are going to turn into leaves. And you go out into the field, or you go out in front of the house, or you go to the park, and you see like life returning to dead trees. It injects into a person tremendous, tremendous simcha. It's almost like the joy of Tchias HaMeisim. It's something that's dead could come back to life. There's an appreciation that these are dead trees as far as we're concerned. Obviously there was life inside them. But there was dead trees. The whole winter long they sat like ghosts and branches. Without their glory, without their beauty. Just empty, desolate branches. And this time of year, suddenly we start seeing signs of life. For months it looked dead, and suddenly we start seeing there's life here. And it's a tremendous chizuk, and it's a tremendous inspiration for a human being to see that even when something's all dried out, it's always possible to, as long as there's life somewhere deep inside, it's possible for the life to come sprouting out of it. And that's what they say, Sha'adam mevarich, it's an inyan mechudash, it's a new thing, similar to what we said last week about the moon, the newness of the moon, that's Kiddush Levana. It's a new thing in the Bria that there were dried Eitzim Yuvashim, dried branches, v'hifricham HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and suddenly they're flowering. So that's what we make a bracha on. The problem is that if that's the case, what has it got to do with fruit trees? It has nothing to do with fruit trees. According to that, you should make a bracha on any tree. And that would make things much more convenient for us, because in another week or so we can go across the street and make a bracha on any tree. And this is such a strong question that I saw that there are people who assume that these Rishayim hold that you could make a bracha on any tree. But it's a little bit problematic because nobody says that. I'm talking about, I say people who hold, people in our generation. But you don't find any Mishnah Berurah, Aruch HaShulchan, the Paiskim, there's a Machtas HaShekel about this, there's an Eish HaLav Ram about this. Nobody mentions this idea that maybe these Rishayim hold that you can make a bracha on even a regular tree. So if the reason why we're making the bracha is basically we're thanking Hashem for spring, so why specifically a fruit tree? So I thought of an interesting answer. Maybe it's like this, just to completely switch gears for a second and jump to the other side of Chumash. Eliezer Eved Avram. Eliezer, the servant of Avram, was instructed to find a wife for Yitzchak. So the Medrash says that Eliezer tells Avram, search no longer. I have a daughter. The Medrash says, I have a daughter. Funny you should ask. I have a daughter. So Hashem said, listen, you are a descendant of Cham. Cham is cursed. I'm a descendant of Shem. I'm Nisbarach. I have Bracha. Your daughter is Aror. My son is Baruch. Bini Baruch v'ata Aror. You can't have bracha and klala joining together. It doesn't work. Bracha has to stick with bracha. That's what Avram said. So I was thinking to myself that the Medrash says, in the Bereishis Rabbah, the Medrash says that when the world was created, Even Ilanei Srak, even trees that today don't bear fruits, they all trees bore fruits, according to at least one day in the Medrash. All trees had fruits on them when the world was created. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh writes, I think it's in the Medrash, but he writes it out. He says that before the earth was cursed, after Adam HaRishon did his sin, after Adam HaRishon's sin, it says, Arura HaAdama, the earth was cursed, and it became much weaker. Before the earth became weak, all trees gave fruits. And it was possible to eat the fruits of every single tree in the world. After the Adama was cursed, he says, Nismata Kaicha V'loi Hayu Kalha Ilanes Oisim Peiros. The strength of the ground was lessened, and not all trees gave fruits. So with that concept, it could be that we don't want to make a bracha thanking Hashem on a tree that Hashem cursed. The Ilanei Srak are indications of Hashem's unhappiness. They're the trees that Hashem cursed.
Well, everything was cursed.
Everything was cursed, but you see, it expresses itself begolui the most in Ilanei Srak. It says, Aruha Adama, 100% everything was cursed.
Maybe apple trees used to get more apples.
100%. But at least what I see today, there's no like outright clear chisaron on the tree. The Ilanei Srak are the most clearly expressed chisaron. Someone pointed out to me last night, the bracha is shalei chiser ba'olam eklon. Hashem didn't make anything missing from his world. But on these trees, he did make something missing. There are fruits missing. So really, the bracha is on the spring. The bracha really I could make on any tree. I thank Hashem for bringing the spring, for bringing the beauty of spring. But since these trees have in them a manifestation of Hashem's unhappiness with the Bria, of Hashem's klala, so therefore we choose fruit trees, which are much, it's true, they're also in Niskal, but are much less of a manifestation of Hashem's klala, the fruit trees still bear fruit. So it comes out that we have two possibilities, just to summarize, two possibilities why we make this bracha in Nisan. One possibility is we thank Hashem for the adding, on top of all his chesed and all the beautiful things that he gave us to eat, carrots and celery and potatoes and all the beautiful things that he gave us to eat, he also created fruit trees. It was a completely unnecessary thing. He created fruit trees that we can enjoy fruits as well. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's reason. And the reason that comes out from this Ritva and Ra'ah is that really has nothing to do specifically with fruits, but we're thanking Hashem for this amazing resuscitation of the dead, this amazing Tchias HaMeisim. That we have Eitzim Yevashim, dried out Eitzim, dried out, the trees look all dead, and suddenly they're exploding with life. You see a group of trees that suddenly the buds start, suddenly you see the haze of green, and then it gets a little stronger and a little bigger. It fills a person with simcha, an explosion of life. And that's what we're thanking Hashem for. And then really we could make the bracha on any tree. But since trees that don't bear fruits are a result of, the reason they don't bear fruits is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unhappy with the Bria, so therefore we pick fruit trees to make the bracha on. So with that, I want to go back to the Rabbi Akiva Eiger that we mentioned, and just to point out an interesting point. Rabbi Akiva Eiger said like this, if you have a tree of Arla you're not allowed to have any benefit from. So can I make the bracha on that tree? Because I can't, it is a fruit tree, but on the other hand, I can't have any benefit from it. So I think it depends which reason it is. If the reason I'm making a bracha is because I want to thank Hashem for giving me fruits, so then I understand his question. Perhaps a tree that I can't enjoy its fruits, I shouldn't make a bracha. Maybe, as Duvi is saying, maybe it's the type of tree that I could enjoy even if this year I can't enjoy it. But I hear the Shiloh over there. But if the reason I'm making a bracha is really just I'm thanking Hashem for the spring, I just can't make a bracha on a tree that doesn't bear fruits. So then even if this particular tree is Asur Bahana, but still, this is not a cursed tree. It's a very blessed tree. And one day it's going to bear fruits and I'm going to eat it. So this tree does not have the chiser ba'olama. It's not lacking anything. And the same thing is true with the tree that's infested that we said that it has fruits on it. The halacha is that we can't eat a fruit that has worms in it. But it's not one of those trees that there's a manifestation of Hashem's klala. It could be it's a little bit more than a full fruit tree, but it's not Ilanei Srak. It's not a barren tree. And certainly a tree that's old, It's a fruit tree. Okay, it reached the end of its life. The process of Olam Hazeh is that trees get old and eventually they don't bear fruit anymore, but it's not a cursed tree. So again, so if you have a tree that's very, very old, so if the reason I'm making a bracha is thanking Hashem for the fruits, so then I'm not so sure you would make a bracha because this tree doesn't bear fruit anymore. But if the reason I'm making a bracha is because I'm thanking Hashem for the spring, so then I could have full reason to make a bracha and the full excitement of the bracha, because this tree is a tree in the spring, it is flowering. I do see that tree as amazing, and it's not a cursed tree, it's not an ilan sarat, it's not a barren tree. So that's what I was thinking. It's interesting. We see here, Rabbi Tveger asks a question, or there's other questions, that if we do the investigation to figure out why we have to make the bracha, sometimes things fall into place a little bit. Depending on the reason, would be decided these halachas. There's another interesting thing that the Torah says that if, let's say someone forgets to make the bracha, or he didn't know there's such a thing, in Nisan you're supposed to make a bracha on fruit trees. He didn't know. By the time he finds out, there are already fruits on the trees. The flowering is over, and there are already fruits on the trees. So there's an argument between the Torah and the Mordechai. The Torah says that you do not make a bracha anymore. It's over. Time's up. You lost out. And the Mordechai says, even as, if there are fruits on the tree, you could still make a bracha. So I think it would depend on the same shaila. If I'm making a bracha on the excitement of spring, too late, my friend. Spring is over. The fruits are on the tree. A little bit like saying Kiddush Levana, like last week saying Kiddush Levana in the second half of the month. The moon is already big. It's too late. You don't have the Kiddush of the Levana anymore. But if I'm thanking Hashem that He gave us fruits, so I didn't have the opportunity to thank Hashem right away when the tree flowered, but now I have the opportunity. Now there are fruits on the tree. I still have the opportunity. So it could be that the machlekes between the Torah and the Mordechai also depends on these two reasons that we found in the Aruch HaShulchan and the Rishonim, why to make a bracha. And there's Rav Vosner has a tshuva sefer, and in it, it's a very, very interesting question. He was asked, what happens if a person makes a bracha on a tree, and then he finds out that it's not a fruit tree? So he says, libi noita. Courageous thing to write. My heart is pointed in the direction of thinking, he says. I think that you don't make another bracha. Why? He says, because the bracha is thanking Hashem for beautiful trees. Whether it gives fruit or not fruit, it's thanking Hashem for beautiful trees. And that he did. So you don't make another bracha. So I think it's possible that it depends on the reason. If the reason I'm making a bracha is the beauty of spring, it's just that I don't want to make a bracha on a tree that was cursed. But if I did, I did. I made a mistake. I made a bracha on a tree that was cursed, an ilan sarak. I did thank Hashem for the spring. This ilan sarak is also a manifestation of spring. So then then it's okay. But if the entire reason I'm making a bracha is because Hashem gave me fruits, so if I make a bracha on a tree that doesn't bear fruits, it could be that then it's a bracha levatela. It could be it's not a good bracha anymore. So that's an interesting perspective, halacha-wise, how the two reasons would have ramifications in all areas of the halachas of making a bracha on fruit trees. But for us, when we're going to make, we're going to find the fruit tree. And for us, one that still bears fruits, and one that's not infested, and one that's not arla. And for us, what's important for us is to remember the reasons. When we make the bracha, there's two ways we could do a mitzvah. We could do a mitzvah, just follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch and just do it, and I did it, and goodbye, which is also doing the mitzvah. Or we could use every mitzvah as a spring of information and of aliyah and of growth and of development in Yiddishkeit, because every bracha and every mitzvah carries around worlds of spirituality and worlds of growth for us. So if we want to tap into the worlds of growth and that one bracha that we make once a year, we have to remember the reasons for the bracha. So the first reason, we already really discussed a little bit last week, the first reason is the beauty of the newness of the world. And I think it's something that if a person doesn't feel, it's something that's worth developing. It's worth being mizvayna. We sat outside yesterday, it was a beautiful, beautiful day. We sat outside, there was some bachram there, you were there then? We were looking at the John was there with his family. We were sitting there, we were looking at a tree. I have a little tree in front of my house, a little tree with little tiny buds. It didn't even start flowering yet. You just see that bump in the tree that the flower is going to come out of. And we realized that when we look at it and when we think about it, you really get filled with joy. This life coming out of a dead tree. It's an unbelievable thing. It gives us emunah and chiyas ha-meisim. It gives us emunah in the geula and redemption and in the ability. People get stale and dried out over years. People become brittle. You see it sometimes. It's a sad sight to see. People get burned out. People become, they're not enthusiastic, they've given up. And then you look at this tree. This tree was dead for months. And suddenly, boom, there's life. Little bumps in the thing, and then a little bit green, and then it pops out a little bit, and suddenly life is coming out of the tree. That's what we're thanking Hashem for. It's something to think about, something to grow from. And Adam is compared to a tree. Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sada. And Adam is compared to a tree. And if this is what happens to a tree, then this is what can happen to an Adam. The second thing I want to spend a little more time on is this Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says we make the bracha because Hashem didn't have to create fruit trees. Hashem could have just created vegetables. And I was a little bit bothered by that because if Hashem wanted to create fruits, He could have also created them in the ground. Watermelon is pretty fruity. A honeydew is pretty fruity. Those are Hadama. Like, what's the point that it's a fruit tree? It's a tree. What's the big deal over here? And why did Hashem do that? If it's unnecessary, so what was the point? So I have the sense that there was something more here that I was missing. There must be something. I'm thanking Hashem for creating not just carrots, but also apples. There's got to be something more over here. And I remembered that in the pre-tzaddik, in Rav Tzaddik Sefer on Chumash, he has a few shtekels there, a few Divrei Torah on Tu B'Shvat. And in the first one, he brings a very, very interesting thing. He says that when man was first created, it was not supposed to be this way that we take food from the ground and from trees. Man and animal were completely separate. Man was on such a high level that there was no similarity between him and an animal. Animals eat from the ground. Man does not. Man eats from trees. There was the separation of Adam and Behemoth. And a man ate from a tree. He didn't go to the ground, the actual ground, you eat it like eating off the floor. We didn't do that. Hashem put it on a platter for us. The platter is called the tree. It was, and in halacha, fruit trees are more chashuv than non-fruit trees. They're more chashuv. What? Well, he talks about wheat. Wheat became lechem, he talks about wheat. But trees were supposed to be the meichel for Adam. I think he says about wheat that wheat grew on trees. Part of the klala was because there's a gemara about gluskais coming off trees, right? Last lover. When it says the famous klala, the famous curse to Adam, koitz v'dardar tatzmiach lach, that thorns and twigs will grow instead of, you know, that you're gonna have to have a frustrating time planting a field. It says, V'achalta es esef ha-sadeh, and you will eat the grass of the field. It seems to be completely extra. Rav Tzaddik says, it's saying, sorry, your life of just eating off trees is over. You also have to eat from the ground. Why? Why do we have to eat from the ground? Because we became smaller. Because through the Aveira, through the sin of Adam, we became smaller, and in a certain sense, we became a little bit closer to the animal kingdom. We drew a little closer by falling, by not being at our true stature, by not living up to our true stature, we fell a little bit, and you are what you eat, they say. An Adam that's completely separate from the animal kingdom eats foods that's completely separate from the animal kingdom. An Adam that's a little bit similar to animals, even in a small respect, has shared foods with animals. Adam reacted very, very upset from this. Says Zolgu Ein of Demois. He cried. He said, "Me and my donkey will eat from the same trough." So Hashem told him that even what grows from the ground, you can process, turn it into bread. There are ways that you can bring it back up again, that's not for now. But you see that Adam was very, very affected from this. I'm going to eat animal food. He was very, very affected from it. So now I'm thinking that this could be included in what the Aruch HaShulchan says. When we see a fruit tree, It's not just like, not only there's watermelon, there's also apples. It's much, much, much more than that. It's that Hashem separated me from animals. The reason Hashem created fruit trees is because I'm not an animal. And I have a different diet than animals. So now we shear. Nobody says the person should try not to eat vegetables. Now we shear our diet. We shear certain things with animals. But we remember, when we see that fruit tree flowering, we remember, you know, I'm not an animal. You know, I'm an Adam. You know, there was a time that I had a completely different diet than animals. You know that this fruit was created just for me and not for my chamar. It was just for me. It reminds us of our stature as Adam. There's an issue. The Paiskim say that even that if a person sees a flowering tree after Nisan, he could also make a bracha. It doesn't have to dafka be in Nisan. But they say that the Mekubalim say that Nisan is specifically a good month for it. So if a person sees a flowering tree, let's say in Adar, especially this year, that we had two Adar, so it's a little bit later in the season, it's possible in certain places that a person would see a flowering tree early, or a person sees it later. So they say it's okay. And lahalacha we pass that you can make a bracha any time. But the place can bring from the chidah that it's better, Nisan is a better time to make this bracha. And I don't know what was in the chidah's mind, and I don't know why, but I'm just suggesting that according to what we're saying, we're starting to hear Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're starting to hear Pesach. Because Adam did a chet, he did a sin, and he was lowered. Hiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu kapay olavu miyatay. Hashem put his hand on Adam, and he made him smaller. Hashem made Adam smaller. Years later, there was a nation that was the job of that nation is to restore the stature of Adam, and that's Klal Yisrael. And that's what the pasuk says: Adam Atem, you are Adam, and Gemara Darshan's Atem Kruyim Adam, you are called Adam. Ve'ein Umayis Ha'olam Kruyim Adam. The Goyim are not called Adam. There's a certain stature, a certain greatness of Adam that only Klal Yisrael has. When did that stature start? When did Klal Yisrael, as a nation, begin to be a nation different than all the nations of the world because they are Atem Kruyim Adam when they went out of Mitzrayim. When they went out of Mitzrayim, they became a nation of Adam. Heading towards Har Sinai, heading towards a special, unique, tremendous role in the world of being the Seichel, of being the inspiration, of being the guide to the entire world. That's what happened to Adam when they came out of Mitzrayim. That's what happened to Klal Yisrael when they came out of Mitzrayim. They became an Adam. And maybe next week, if we're able to, we'll talk about Shabbos HaGadol and going into Pesach. All over in the Inyanim of Pesach, you find this stature of Adam, the greatness of Adam. So I'm not surprised that there's a special Inyan in Nisan to make the bracha on a fruit tree, which is the tree that was designed, that was built, that was created specifically for the Meichel of Adam before the Chet. Specifically for the Meichel of Adam. And that's where we thank Hashem. We thank Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, that you created food for me. I could have survived. But then I would have been eating just like an animal. Thank you for separating me, for uplifting me, for making me special, and giving me the Meichel of Adam. We have to keep reminding ourselves that we live in a world today that places on a pedestal being an animal. It's almost a compliment to say someone's an animal in certain circles. Base instincts and hefkeros and the wrong meaning of freedom are all part of the culture that we live in. And this is the time of the year that we have to remind ourselves that Atem Kruyim Adam, a man is different than an animal in every way. An animal walks on all fours, his head and his body are on the same level. But a man walks b'kaima zakufa. His head is on top. His head is the king. And his seichel controls him. And his seichel directs. Not like some people think that the seichel is supposed to destroy or diminish the instincts of a person's body. But rather the seichel is supposed to be like the conductor of an orchestra and to orchestrate and to direct and to make a perfect harmony with all the different parts of us. It's supposed to come from our seichel. I was reading a psychology book the other day, and he was talking about certain types of people that have very, 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 very big problems. And it was written by a firm person. And he says, it's written for the secular world, but it was written by a firm person. And he says that there's a big difference between a human and an animal. And that is that part of the cravings of a human being is a craving for spirituality. There's a craving inside of us for spiritual growth. And he says that many people that he sees that have a hard time coping in life, that are not happy, that are not succeeding, that have all kinds of terrible psychological issues, is because they confuse the craving for spirituality for the craving for physicality. He said, people feel a craving, and they don't... I'll give you an example. I read recently, and I found that it's so true. I found that people, someone who's hungry and tired, the feelings of hunger and the feelings of tiredness, I always thought it's two separate feelings. You're either hungry or you're tired. And I read somewhere, and I found it to be very, very true. I watched myself for a while. I found it to be very true that if somebody is very, very tired, somebody can get confused in their brain, and they're hungrier. In other words, there's a craving for something, and the brain could confuse it. They tell people who are dieting to get enough sleep. Because if a person is sleep-deprived, he's going to eat too much. Exhaustion creates in the body a tremendous need for something, so you come home and you can't go to sleep. You're not going to sleep. That's like the finger food, like you have to eat, you have to eat, you have to eat, because the body is craving something. And if the signals get confused, what exactly it's craving. But many, many times, I remember a few weeks ago, right after I read it, I came home from yeshiva in the afternoon, and I ate this, and I was busy with things, like while I was doing things, I ate this, and I ate this, and I ate this. By the time I was ready to go back to yeshiva, I had eaten so much, I couldn't believe it, I don't eat that much in a week. And I realized, that night happened to be that the night before I slept maybe 3 or 4 hours, I hardly slept. And I had just read this recently, I was like, it's an amazing thing. I wasn't going to sleep. And my body is desperate for something, and I wasn't giving it what it was desperate for, so it came out in other ways. It didn't help much, but it was. But that's what happens. On a bigger scheme of things, we're starving for ruchnius. We're starving for growth. We're starving for shteigen. But not always do we understand what it is we're hungry for. So people sometimes try to fill it with all kinds of physical pleasures and trips and accomplishments and all kinds of things. And then afterwards they come back and they go to their psychologist and they say, I'm still not happy because you're eating instead of going to sleep. You're not feeding the right craving. So that's, I think, an inspiration that we have when we make this bracha and nisan, as we head into Shabbos HaGadol and then into Pesach, to identify within ourselves, even more than the Umas HaElam. This is true even about Goyim. Goyim also have a craving for spirituality that they have to fill. But for us, we're Atam Kriyam Adam. We're that Adam of before the Chet. We have a massive need for growth. We will not be happy. We're not being used properly if we don't have constant ruchniyistic growth. And we have to remember that when we're functioning in the world, remember that we're different. What makes it's pashut. This has halachic ramifications. But what makes a guy happy will not make us happy. We have a different diet and different mitzvahs and a different agenda. It will not make us happy. I could live exactly the same lifestyle as a guy, and he'll be happy, and I will not, because I have different needs, because I'm a different creation. I don't like hearing when people not goyim and say the goyim are animals, because they're not animals. They're in the form of Hashem. Adam was nivra b'tzelem elokim. Chaviv Adam shenivra b'tzelem. Most of Hashem say is referring to goyim. Chaviv Adam shenivra b'tzelem. They're in the form of Hashem. B'tzelem elokim. But what is true, is that the massive difference between a dog and a guy, there's a massive difference between them in intellect, in capacity, in growth. There's a massive difference. The same difference exists between a guy and a yid. It's another rung up. Just like you can't compare a rock to a tree, you can't compare a tree to an animal, and you can't compare an animal to a guy, because a guy is special in that he's in the form of Hashem, Chavav Adam Shenivra B'Tselem, you also can't compare a guy to a yid. And we can't fool ourselves into thinking that what's going to satisfy the cravings of a guy is going to satisfy us. We're a different bria. It's like giving, if you a guy tells you he's hungry, you're going to give him dog food? What satisfies a guy is not the same thing that satisfies an animal. So when a yid is hungry, you can't give him guy food. Because what satisfies a yid is different than what satisfies a guy.